Okay, we're on the Chagiga Tav tonight. Let me just go over the Mishnah on Daf Beis and Aleph, and then we'll go to today's Daf. Okay, just to refresh our recollections, what we learned from the Mishnah. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah on Daf Beis and Aleph briefly. So the Mishnah says that Kol Chayv and Beria, everybody's Chayv and Beria. We're saying is to appear in the Beis Hamikdash and bring the Olas Re'ia. He says Chus Mecheri Shota B'Katan, except for a deaf mute, a Shota is a person who's insane, a Katan, a minor. But Tumtum androgynous, Tumtum is somebody whose, you know, genitalia are hidden, and androgynous is he's both male and female. Benashim va'avadim she'inam mishuchrim, women, and an Eved Kanani that's not freed, is so that they're all patur. Hachiger v'asuma v'chol v'hazaken. First is lame, blind, he's sick, or he's zaken. Amishenichol lo braglav. We can't make a lila regel physically. Then the Mishnah goes in, Ezu Katan. Now the Mishnah here is talking, there's a din in Chinuch, a drabbanan din in Chinuch. So if you look at the Rashi, the first narrow line in Rashi, he says, Ezu Katan is on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Kulei, Aval Mikan Ve'ilach, Afal Pi Sheinu Chayav in a Torah, even though, you know, we're not, the person isn't Chayav in a Torah, he says, he too, Chachamim l'aviv el'ima l'chanchov mitzvot. The Chachamim impose an obligation on the father and the mother. That's, you know, Rashi points to the father and the mother to be mechanichim in mitzvot. So he's back in the Mishnah. Ezu katan, koshin echol l'rkobach tef shel aviv, l'alot mishlam l'har by the Rebbe Shammai. Rebbe Shammai, any child that can piggyback on his father's shoulders, so then he's too young for chinuch. Behil says anybody that can't walk with the father holding him. So Behil has an older shear. So like the shear, it's going to come out from the Gemara and from Rashi. Like the first shear could be over 1 year old. If he's over 1 year old, he could piggyback over the father. But to walk would be like two shenemar shlosh regalim. Shlosh regalim is from the shlosh regal. You're able to walk. So the Torah is mechayvi to bring korbanot. The Torah doesn't have a shiur for how much the korbanot should cost, but the chamim created shiurim for the minimum shiur for these korbanot. So the Mishnah says that the according to Beit Shammai, the ri'is shtei kesef and the chagiga is ma kesef. So the ri'is is twice as much as the chagiga for reasons that we'll discuss in today's Gemara. According to Beit Hillel, it's just the opposite. The Giga is twice. Okay, that was the mission we did on Daf Beis. Okay, let's go to Daf Vav now. So on the last line on Hayam Beis, 5B, the bottom line, last line. So what's taking what? So I don't know. Usually Zakein is usually 70, but I think here Zakein means, like the Mishnah said, that he's not able to walk. That's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, where is it? He says, Yibah HaZakein. So Zakein, it sounds like that he can't walk anymore. I don't think it's a specific age. But usually in Halacha, Zakein, like Neseva Takumahat, or Tapnei Zakein. Well, Zakein, Seva there is a 70-year-old. Zakein is Zeshekana Chachma. But usually 70 is a big year and when it's getting older. But I don't think that's what it's speaking about here. Okay? But we'll have, that can't be for tonight. Okay, on Daf Vav, on Daf Hema Beis, the bottom line. So Ezu Katan Kol Shenichol Rekol Ktefo Shel Aviv. So that was the sheet of Beit Shammai, if he can't piggyback on the father's shoulders. So Matkiv La Reb Zera on the top line of Vav Manalo. Mat Hacha Man Akish. So he says, in other words, you're talking about piggybacking from Yerushalayim to Har Abayim. That's what we're talking about, Yerushalayim to Har Abayim. But how did he get here to Yerushalayim? We're like, how does he show up? In other words, we figure that the father's, let's say they live in Tveria, the father's not, you know, doing a piggyback with him from Tveria to here. So the point being that we think if he's able to walk from Tveria to Yerushalayim, then these questions are mooted with the top line and bottom. Okay, just 1 minute and we'll come. Okay, Bob went off the top line. So Amar Le Abaye, so Abaye says Reb Zera, Ad Hachin Mechayvi Imi B'Simcha Aitzita Imi. Up until this point, the mother was obligated in the Korban Simcha. So yeah, well, each one of these things is a big issue in Halacha. So we say Mechayvi B'Simcha, let's look at the Rashi, the third right line. La'alo L'Regel B'Simcha B'Chagim Ba'alo L'Simcha Tzivu Nashim D'Chi B'Samachta Tavitecha. That there's a mitzvah. Now this Pasuk V'Samachta Tavitecha is really talking about
Maser Sheni, I think. That's what Rabbi Leibowitz had mentioned today. But the idea is that there's a mitzvah that's imposed on the husband to bring the Shalmei Simcha, but he has a chiyuv to be Mesameach the wife, but the wife would be coming. So let's take a look back in the Gemara. That's one way to understand the sugya. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ad hach the mechayv imi b'simcha. So the mother is on some level, the mother's not chayiv in the oldest ri'iyah. The mother's not chayiv in the Shalmei Chagigah. So the mother is under no obligation to appear in the Beis HaMikdash. But she's going to be in Yerushalayim to be involved with the Simcha. So he says, Aitita imi, so the mother brings him. And the way that Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying today, or I was listening to the recording, he was saying like, it's like, the Gemara takes it, it's more logical, the mother is involved with bringing the young child, that the father, you know, isn't get involved with those things. So the mother arranged for his transport to Yerushalayim. Mikan ve'elach, but from that point forward, according to Beit Hillel, if he's old enough to walk and hold on to his father's hands, so he the child's chayiv. And there's a machloket rishonim, this is misad chinuch, in other words, because of chinuch, he's obligated, and his machlokes rishonim, is that an obligation on the father or an obligation on the child? So this Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying that Rashi learns on the father. We saw that Rashi was on the father and the mother, would have wrote. And then the Balei Tosfot hold that it's on the child. Okay, v'ilo patur, otherwise he's patur. All right, somebody had a question before? What's up? Somebody? Who asked a question? Somebody have a question? All right, let's see. Do you want to ask something, Michael? No, okay. Okay, so I'll pause in a few lines. So on 1, 2, 3, the fifth line from the top. Heshiv Rebbe Tachat Beit Hillel. So Rebbe was actually a descendant of Hillel. Rebbe was a lineal descendant of Hillel. So, but Rebbe here is like taking, you know, the position of Beit Hillel and asking a question on behalf of Beit Hillel. The Divrei Beit Shammai, so he's referring to the incident in Sefer Shmuel when Shmuel was a youngster, and so his mother didn't bring him, so his father Elkanah would make aliyah to Shiloh. That's where the Mishkan was, in Shiloh. So he says, the Kana lo alta, Kana didn't make aliyah the regal to Shiloh, ki amra li'isha, because she said to her husband, ad yigamel ha-na'ar v'habiyotiv. I want to wait till he's yigamel. So if you look at Rashi, the third narrow line, ad yigamel, l'sof chaftal et chodesh. Yeah, when he's 24 months old, let me wait till the child is 24 months old. But from the first year, he can already ride piggyback with the father. So certainly from the Shiloh to the Mishkan, he could go. In other words, it's easier to in other words, the Gemara takes it, you're going up a mountain to go to Har Abayit. We'll talk about that. So the point is, in the Pasuk, Chana says, let me hold back with, you know, bringing him to Shiloh, you know, until he's 24 months old. That fits in with Beis Hillel, not like Beit Shammai. That's the question. Shmuel could have ridden on his father's shoulder. He says, so that's the kasha that Rebbe asked, you know, leave it to Beit Hillel against Beit Shammai. So Amarle Avua, so Rebbe's father, which is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, said to him, "L'tameh tishulach Chana gufa milu mechayiv b'simcha." Takam Chana herself was not going to Shiloh to participate in the Shalmei Simcha, because the Shalmei Simcha you'd have to have in Shiloh. Takam she's not going. Ella Chana mepankuti yeterek tefazi be'bishmuel. So Chana saw that the son is like very sensitive, or you know, like a little weak. So he says, "V'chasha be'bishmuel l'chul shoda orcha." So she was choshesh for Shmuel for like the difficulty of him getting him there. In other words, that's what Beit Shammai would answer. So Beit Shammai would say that if the kid is sickly, you know, I'm not going to bring him there. Now, this Rabbi Leibowitz was mentioning that Rabbeinu Chananel, so let me see the Rabbeinu Chananel. So, So Rabbeinu Chananel says, Mishum ha, and this Rabbeinu Chananel is around 10 lines above where it gets wide. In the Rabbeinu Chananel, so at least my Gemara. So he says, Mishum hachi chananami p'tura. So Chana was also p'tura, because cholin misham sheyem p'tura min ra'iyah. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that cholin misham sheyem, the sick people, and those who are attending to the sick people are p'tura. So he mentioned that Who asked on this? I don't know why. I think the Cheshit Shlomo or somebody. Somebody asked on the Shabbat Chananel that this din of Cholin Misham Sheyan is a din by Sukkah. It's not a din by Alila Regel. Remember, we learned in Sukkah that, you know, like a Chol is Mitztayer, he's Patur Menas Sukkah. So the Gemara learns the Chol is Patur, and the people who are Mishamish the Chol are also Patur from the Sukkah. But Rabbi Yochanan quotes that in reference to this din of Alila Regel. So I think he said the Cheshit Shlomo asked on this, that it's a din, you know, only in Sukkah, not a din in the regal. But anyway, the point being though, that so we're able to answer it up for Beit Shammai. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything so far?
I do.
Okay, 1 minute for Michael and you. Go. Well, he's got to get somehow from Tveria to Yerushalayim. All right. That's what the Gemara is asking. How does he get from wherever he is to Yerushalayim? In other words, it's so pashut. In other words, the Gemara has this whole Kimta. How does he get from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayit? So he's walking, he's riding. So how did he get to Yerushalayim? How does this kid get to Yerushalayim? How does he show up in Yerushalayim? So the Gemara is saying, well, it could have walked part, it could have ridden part, but the child's not able to do either, presumably. But if he did, then in other words, the point being, if the child's old enough, the Gemara thinks, if the child's old enough to get from wherever he lives to Yerushalayim, then he's probably old enough to walk up to the Har HaBayit. That's the question of the Gemara.
Right.
Well, the Gemara said, there's a whole, you know, Dion in the Rishonim, when we say the woman is Chayiv in Simcha, so I gave you one derech, is to say she's not really Chayiv in it. The man is Chayiv in Simcha, but he's Mechuyiv to be Mesameach his wife, so she's going to participate in it. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, no, it's for the Shalmi. Yes, she does. In other words, if she's going to participate in the Shalmi Simcha, so Shalmi Simcha you can only have in Yerushalayim. You can't leave it. Right, right. Okay. Korban Pesach. What? For? Yeah, in other words, if she's married, she certainly has got to be in Yerushalayim. All right, now, Fern's been patient. What do you got me, Fern?
No, are they saying that Shmuel was a little sickly?
That's what the Gemara is saying.
Where are they getting that from?
I don't know. That's what the Gemara is answering on behalf of Beit Shammai. They answered and say, that must have been the situation. I don't know what to say.
But there are no psukim that allude to that, right?
I'm not aware of any. Okay. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. And with the women with the Korban Pesach, it's so pashut, the women are chayiv in Korban Pesach. It's definitely all right. Let's see further in Gemara now. Okay, we're on Bava Mid Aleph. Bava and Aleph around the 15th line. Okay, everybody with me? So by Reb Shimon, so on the side it says Reb Shimon Lakish, he asked the following question. Katan Chiger L'divrei Beit Shammai. Let's say I have a katan, but the katan is lame. So, but he says V'sumo L'divrei Shneihem, or if he's a blind child. So in other words, if he was an adult and he's a Chiger, he's Pater from Olos Riyah, from the Olila Regel. But he's a katan, but the katan, according to Beit Shammai, could ride on his father's shoulders. So he's a katan that's a chigir, according to Beit Shammai. According to Beit Hillel, he's got to walk with being held by the hand by the father. Or let's say he's a blind child. So the Gemara learned already, based on the pasuk, this is Michael's daf on daf dalid, that if a suma is patur from the regal, it's yira yira, based on the pasuk. The Kedera Shabbat road, Kach Bale road. Just like a Kaddish Baruch Hu sees you, you have to be able to see, to take in the whole situation. So what's the din? Is there still a din in Chinuch with a child that way? So Hechidami, so the Gemara says, what's the case? If you're talking about a chigir that he's lame and it's not anticipated that he will ever be able to walk, or he's blind, it's not anticipated he'll ever be sighted. So if a gadol is patur, certainly katan, and a gadol is patur even from the Torah. So certainly katan is patur. So the Gemara says, lo, tzricha b'chigir shechul hepashet. So the Gemara says, the question we have, right now he's lame, but we anticipate that when he gets to be a gadol, he could be able to walk. B'suma shechul hepashet. Right now he's blind, but when he's older, he may be sighted. So what's the din in terms of chinuch for such a child? So let's see the Gemara. He says, so it's going to come out as the chakira like this. This is the way that Rabbi Leibowitz was saying. The chakira is, do I view it that I'm just like habituating the child? In other words, I want him to be, you know, habituated to a certain course of conduct. And if that's the tzad, then if he could be sighted or could be mobile by the time he's an adult, so I want to do that for him. Or is chinuch different? Is chinuch that I look at the child now and I say, but for the fact that he's a minor, would he be chayav right now? In other words, excluding the fact that he's 5 or 10, you know, if he were an adult now, would he be chayav? So it's that stad, he'd be patur. So let's see what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, why? So Amar Abaye, Kohecha the Gadol Mechayev Midoraita, Katanami Mechanchinalei Midorabanan. So Abaye says, whenever, if it's the Gadol that he in the situation would be chayav on the Doraisa level, then there's a din of chinuch for the katan. Kohecha the Gadol Patur Midoraita, if in the same situation, a gadol, and as if the child was 20 years old, he'd be patur, midrabanan katanami patur, so katanzo is patur. So the Gemara is cutting down on the side that there is no mitzvah chinuch for this child. You know, later on, he might be able to walk, he might be able to see, there's no din chinuch. So Rav Leibowitz mentioned a few things. First, he said, there's a machloket by lulav. Like, let's say that between the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham. Let's say it's, you know, on the first day yantiv, you have to own the lulav lachem. So they say you shouldn't, if you want to use the lulav and asrag, I shouldn't give it to the katan because an adult has a koch to be makne to him, and the katan with a dar acherek could be kone, but the katan can't be makne back to the adult, right? So if I give the lulav to the child, that's his. I can't get it back for sukkah, to own it. So this question, let's say I have one lulav, whatever, but I want to do the mitzvah chinuch, but I won't be makdeh to him. In other words, I have a 10-year-old. So I'll give him the lulav. I won't have intent to be makdeh to him. And so right here, waves the lulav. So is that, and the child won't know one way or another, whatever, you know, waving fine lulav. So is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah chinuch? So it's the same chakira. So in the tzad, if I say the tzad is, I just want to habituate the child to a course of conduct, so fine, he's habituated. He waves now, he'll wave when he's 20, whatever, that's the idea. But if I say the mitzvah is, like the way he is now, if he would be 20, would he be fulfilling the mitzvah? So then no, it doesn't work, because he doesn't own the lulav now. So I don't have it that way. So he said it was a machlok between the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham. I think the Mishnah Berurah is the one side that says, yeah, you have to own it. In other words, so the child would have to own it to do the mitzvah of chinuch. Right. So you have to either get another, you got to get a little bit of an asterisk for him. You'd have to do it the second day because you need it for then he mentioned another tzad. He was mentioning this tshuva for Moshe about a yeshiva in Detroit known as, I think, Beis Yehuda, and they didn't have enough money to open up like a boys' girl yeshiva and a girls' yeshiva. So they asked for Moshe, can we open up a yeshiva that'll be boys and girls together? You know, that was a question. Or is it better, you know, to do one and not the other one? So Ramosha said that that's the same chakira as we have here now. He wanted to say that if it's, again, if the chinuch is that I want to habituate them to a certain course of conduct, so then they get older, so like the boys and girls will be learning together. That's not the good thing. But if I say it's like you are now you're older, so you want to say like this child, even though like he could be older, but he doesn't have a Yetzirah right now. So he wanted to say, so there would be like no harm, no foul, according to that tzad. So he brings a raya from our Gemara that would be the tzad, the way you would go with that. You know, there's another situation. This is only sort of tangentially related, but I remember reading, did I tell you this is about Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman? So he was here between 1937 and 39 in America, and he, you know, was big gadol, and he was a talent, he studied with the Chafetz Chaim. And when he was here, so, and this I heard from Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky, Zichron Lebracha. I saw it printed up in an article book, but then I heard it from Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky. So Rabbi Yaakov gave his son, was like 15 at the time. So he told him, like, Rabbi Binyamin was going to be like the Ibra Zetzer. Well, it was like the people, like, you know, Rabbi Elchanan spoke Yiddish, and some of the people, like, maybe the Yiddish wasn't so perfect, whatever. So he would translate for them and, you know, help them with the whole thing. So the way I remember is, so he was in Bell Harbor. So they came to Rabbi Elchanan and they said, look, some of us have boys, some of us have girls. We don't have enough money for yeshiva for both. What should we, you know, we decided that we both agree we're going to come to you to answer, be Mavar the question. So the ones who had the boys thought, oh, this is a holy. So Rabbi Elchanan said, if I were in Europe, I would have said boys yeshiva, but here in America, things being the way they are, I think you should open a girls yeshiva. So Rabbi Yaman said, he never forgot to face the people, the boys. Like he threw like cold water. What happened? Anyway, that was the way Rabbi Elchanan was Mavara the situation. So that's sort of a, yeah, because he said that the girl here in America, like everything was so mufkar. Like if girls would go like to public school, he was afraid of what would happen to them. You know what I mean? So as between the two of them, more from the other way. But anyway, Ramosha had, I don't know if they're talking about the same age exactly, but Ramosha said it was better that the old will be together. Okay. So, I thought we cut through, but I see there's a lot to say here. All right, let me just be quick with this. There's the one piece here in the Morota Daf Yomi. He talks about when you say Aliyah LaRegel, So first of all, does it mean you're going up like physically? Like, does it mean you're physically going up? So he says it does mean that's what the Gemara has. Like today, it's not going up. In other words, Yerushalayim is higher than the Har HaBayit. But he proves that Aliyah isn't like metaphorically going up because he, among other things, I'm not doing the whole thing, but he mentions the Gemara says in Masechta Tanit that they had all this rain and Alu Kol Am LaHar HaBayit and Shamim. Everybody went on the Har HaBayit because of the rain. So clearly, Har HaBayit was higher than the rest of the situation. So, but today it doesn't seem that way. It doesn't seem that way, and it hasn't seemed that way for a number of centuries. So, among other things, he quotes from the Kaftar B'Ferak, Rabbi Yashturi Haparti. I think he was around the 13th century. He went to Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim was high up. So he says that Yerushalayim is like built one thing on top of another. In other words, like if you dig down, in other words, the houses today are on top of the roofs, the previous houses on top of the roofs. So Yerushalayim is much higher now than it was previously. And then he quotes from Radbaz. The Radbaz is in the 16th century. And he also was asked about this. And the Radbaz said, even if you dig at a great depth, you won't get to virgin soil. And then he also says that the Har HaBayit is lower now than it used to be. That's what he says. And he says that the people who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Aru Arari Sodba, they wanted to dig down till the foundation to totally destroy everything. And then he says the rains came down and everything went out that way. And then the Radbaz also says, they said the Evan Shtia and the Kodesh Kadashim was three etzba'od above the Ritzbah. In other words, the Evan Shtia is the foundation stone. So the Evan Shtia, they think it's this rock, which is in the Dome of the Rock. There's this Dome of the Rock. So there's a big rock there. Well, yeah. Right. So the assumption is that that's the Eben Shtia. So, but Chazal teaches the Eben Shtia was three etzbot above the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. But the Radbaz says the Eben Shtia is like two stories above the things. That's another right he wants to say, that things have washed away. The only thing that I had a question about, it's a long time since I was there, but when you go to the Kotel, they have like a shaft. You can look down and you see how deep down the wall goes. So that cut seemed a little bit the other way. Any event, and he says that the archaeological dig has shown that in terms of the old city in Yerushalayim, that you go at least 16 meters down to get to the Rakia. So 16 meters down would be like 50 feet down. So now he mentions here that there was one Talmid Chacham in Lithuania had a chiddush, but it's based on a mistaken understanding. He thought the Har HaBayit was just the opposite, that the things had been piled up on the Har HaBayit. And so he wanted to argue that if you go in the Makom HaMikdash now, you're not Chayv Kari for Tumas Mikdash because the God don't loan it Kachuk. So Chazal teach us that the rooftops don't have the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. So he was figuring if the dirt has been piled on the Har HaBayit, so when you walk on the Har HaBayit today, you're not in the Makom HaMikdash, you're like on top of it. That's what the person wanted to say. And he says that the Devar Avraham kind of joined with him, but they said that it's not correct because the Har HaBayit is not higher, it's lower than it was. And then he mentions here that in the Beis Medrash they had questions when they said the Gagot, because the Gag is another Rishus, and but not the dirt, might not be the same situation. But all right, I got to move on. Okay, I have 60 seconds for questions and I got to run. Anybody have any questions? I spoke about this on Shabbos. Were you here? Do you remember what I said? According to the Mishnah Berurah. Right, the Mishnah Berurah says that small children, they shouldn't bring it to shul. If he's below the age of chinuch, you should not bring it to shul. So there's a special mitzvah here in the Torah. Well, first of all, let's go back. The idea is when the child's the age of chinuch, you do bring him to the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash. But Chazal teaches that for the shul, the age of chinuch is, let's say, age 6 or 7. When the child knows how to be quiet and he knows, you know, the right kavod for the place, then you should bring him to shul, but not bring him to shul and dump him in the hallway so he runs around and plays games. You leave him in shul, you leave him next to you, and you make sure he's behaving and he's answering to Amen and Kiddush and everything like that. Then there's a mitzvah to bring the child. But not otherwise, the Mishnah Berurah says, according to Shaloah, that if you bring him at a younger age or older and you're not watching him, he learns disrespect for the shul, and when he gets older, then he'll also be disrespectful for the shul. Okay, I got to move on. I don't have time, so please excuse me. Okay, now, but we're at the two dots on Zavav and Aleph. So Beit Shammai and Rimari, Yishtei Kesef, the Chulei. So we said it's my cloak between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai holds, you spend, Yishtei Kesef means Tumah of Kesef. So you spend twice as much, according to Beit Shammai, on the Re'iyah as on the Chagiga. And according to Beit Hillel, you spend more on the Chagiga than the Re'iyah. So now the Braisa elaborates their shitot. Beit Shammai says the more important the two korbanot is the olas re'iyah. Because the olas re'iyah is totally burnt, it goes up to Shemayim. The chagigah, only certain parts are burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest is eaten. So they figured that the olas re'iyah has a greater chashivas. But oh, matzinu ba'aseret, she went out too, but Olod Yotzer. In addition to which, if you look at the korbanot that are brought on Shavuos, and Rashi brings it down, if you look at the Rashi, it's around midway down in the narrow columns. Mansinu Batzeret, Batzeret is Shavuos. That's the name Chazal have for it. The Parsha Shor Kesev, you bring 6 lambs, Upar b'Makar Echad, 1 bull, Veilim Shnayim, and 2 rams, you Olod Hashem. Those are all Olod. So they have 7 sheep, 1 par, that's 8, and 10 animals. And then two animals, 2 sheep, the Zevach Shlamim. That's for the Shalmei Tzibur. That's the only time you have Shalmei Tzibur. So, Olod, you have 10. Shalmei Tzibur, you have 2. So, it's a siman to Olod or Morachashu. And Relibus was mentioning that the Turi Evan says, how come you didn't bring a raya? Let's say the other korban of Tzibur Olo, what like Olo Yom Tov, why does he bring there? So he says, you can't bring a raya from there because you have to bring if in one korban I bring Olo and Shlamim, that shows the relative importance of each one. Anyway, that's Beit Shammai's argument. Now back in the Gemara, Beit Hillel Omrim, Beit Hillel says, Hariyama Kesev, Hagiyishte Kesev. The Re'iyah is 1 ma'a. Okay, welcome there. We're on Vava Medala, around midway down. Okay, so he says, So the Re'iyah is 1 ma'ah and the Chagigah is 2. They hold the Chagigah is greater chashivas. The Chagiga was brought before the Aser HaDibur were given. Now, he's talking about there's a Pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim, and it says, Vayishlachet Na'arei B'nei Yisrael, and then it says, Vayalu Olot, Vayizbechus Lachim Shlamim, and then it says also, Vayalu Olot. So the Gemara will get to Vayalu Olot. But right now, Beis Hillel is focusing on, Beis Hillel is going to say that it's an Ola Tamid, but they brought a Chagiga. In other words, they brought the Chagiga before they brought an Ola Sriya. So in other words, chronologically, the Chagiga was brought before an Olat Riyah was ever brought. In addition to which, if you look at the Korban Nesiyim, Chagiga in the back of the volume, okay? So if you look at the Nesiyim, the Korbanot that the Nesiyim bring, so there are more Shlamim there than Olot, more Shlamim than Olot for each Nasi. So those are the two Shitot, okay? So again, so Beit Shammai holds that the oldest Re'iyah is more chashuv than the Chagiga. Beit Hillel holds the Chagiga is more important than the oldest Re'iyah. Let me just do some ground and I'll pause. Now the Gemara is going to ask, how come each one doesn't hold from the other one's argument? So we step forth the arguments. They each have two arguments, right? So we said Beit Shammai's arguments are that the Re'iyah is an Ola, all burnt up to Hashem, and on Shavuos you have more Korbanot. Of Olot than you do of the Shlamim. And Beit Hillel says that the Chashivas is the Chagiga. Chagiga was brought chronologically before the Olas Riyah, and by the Nesiyim there are more Shlamim than the Olot. Beit Hillel might tell the Amrik Beit Shammai. Why isn't Beit Hillel subscribed to Beit Shammai's arguments? The Ka'amrik Riyah Difa the Ola Kula Gavoa. So first, your first argument. Is the oldest tree is burnt totally to Hashem? This is more chashuv. So he says, "Adraba." I think Tofakeh is the opposite. Chagiga difa. The Chagiga has created a chashivas. Why? Did by shtei achilot. In other words, achilot means like it's burnt up. Like this achila and the mizbeach. That which the mizbeach consumes is called one achila, and then that which man consumes is another achila. In other words, so the korban is eaten like kviyachol, like by the mizbeach and by the people. So it's more chashuv. So I think that with the ka'amik nilaf me'atzeret. He said, let's learn by Shavuos. By Shavuos, we have more Olot than we do Shlamim. He says, so I don't think that is a very good example. He says, Dan in Korban Yachid and Korban Yachid. We're talking about Korban Yachid. The Olot Riyah and the Shalmei Chagiga are brought by individuals. Dan in Korban Yachid and Korban Tzibur. All the Korban you mentioned is a Korban Tzibur. So the Nesiyim, that's Korban Yachid. That's what we learned. That by the Nesiyim, they brought more Shlamim than Olot. You're bringing by Shavuos, that's a Korban Tzibur. So the example is inapposite. Why is Beit Shammai not subscribed to Beit Hillel's arguments? So the word says the Ka'amet Chagiga di for the Ishnof Ne'adibur. So argument number one, you said the Chagiga preceded the oldest Re'iyah. This is Re'iyah Nami Ishnof Ne'adibur. So we hold that the oldest Re'iyah was brought also at that same time. So it's going to turn on when the Pasuk says at Har Sinai that they brought Olot. So what Olot were they bringing? So Beit Shammai argues that it's an Olas Re'iyah. Well, how Olas Re'iyah? They didn't have a base of Mikdash, they didn't have a Mishkan yet. So Olas Re'iyah, but it says Vayechazu et Halokim. In other words, that they saw like this heavenly vision. So that's an Olas Re'iyah. Like I'm bringing Korban on the occasion I'm seeing like Kivyakol, this heavenly vision. So that's an Olas Re'iyah. He says, it's Ka'amr, Nelef, Nesiyim. And then he said, well, looks at the Nesiyim. We have more Shlami by the Nesiyim than we do Olot. I don't think Nesiyim is a good example because we're going to learn something which is going to go on for all generations from something that goes on all generations, which is by Shavuos. We're not going to learn something which is like a perpetual mitzvah from a one-time shot, a one-shot deal by the Nesiyim. All right, now, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I have to keep moving, but I will pause in a little bit. So now we want to analyze Beit Hillel's Shita. So Beit Hillel said that Chagiga is different. They had a Chagiga before the Matan Torah. Beit Hillel, my Shlach Chagiga Shlom Dibur, the Chiva is Bechus V'Achim Shlomim. Says that they're right, that they sacrifice Shlomim that we got. So Re'inami Akti, but they also says by Re'ah, by Ya'alu Olot. It says in the same Pasuk that they brought Olot, and we think that's Olos Re'ah. So the Gemara says, Kisabri Beit Hillel, Olos Shikribi Shlom Midbar, Olat Tamid Havoy. Beit Hillel holds that the Olot they brought, that was an Olat Tamid. That was the beginning of the Korban Tamid that they brought at Har Sinai. It wasn't an Olas Riyah. The Beit Shammai Savri, Olas Shekribus Midbar, Olas Riyah Habay. Beit Shammai holds no, it was an Olas Riyah. And we said Olas Riyah because it's by Chazud Al Kim, so it's an Olas Riyah. Now, okay, those are the Shia. Let me pause for 30 seconds, take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, who's got any questions on anything I did so far? Anybody in the cyber world? Kananahara? Okay. All right, let's take a look for a little bit. Okay, so we're 6 lines from the bottom on Baba Madala. So Amar Abaye. Now, so it came out to the Zmachlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about what were the olod that were brought at Har Sinai. So according to Beit Shammai, the olod were an Olat Re'iyah, that's what it was. And according to Beit Hillel, it was an Olat Tamid. Okay? So the Gemara says, Amar Baye, Beit Shammai, and here the Bach changes the words on the order. Amar Baye, Rabbi Shmuel, Reb Lezer, he changed Reb Lezer, Reb Lezer, Kuz Firlu, Olat Shekriyus Mubar, Olat Re'iyah Boy. Those three Tanayim, were, and then Beit Shammai is a group of Tanayim, they hold that the Ola was an Olat Re'iyah. Who Beit Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef, Lili, Kuz Firlu, Olat Shekriyus Mubar, Olat Tamid, Abay. They all hold it's an Olat Tamid. So now the rest of the Daf is mostly going to deal with, was it an Olat Tamid or an Olat Re'iyah that they brought at Har Sinai? Now, Beit Shammai had the Amran. So, Beit Shammai, that we've stated above, and that was, you know, clear from the Bryce that that's the way that's going. Okay, now the next Tana, Rabbi Shmuel, they were going to try to prove that Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Ola that was brought there was an Ola's Riyah. He says, the Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Klalot Nem Rubas Sinai, the Tana Rabbi Shmuel says that the general, you know, mitzvos in general, without all the specifics we're given in Sinai, turn page, top line of Avon Beis, who pratot ba'olam moed. And then, after the Mishkan was erected, they got more details about all the mitzvot. Rabbi Kiva Omer, klalot u'pratot nemu b'sinai. Rabbi Kiva holds, no, they got everything in Har Sinai, v'nishnu b'olam moed, and then it was repeated again in olam moed, v'nishtal shubar avot moab, and repeated for a third time, and our avot moab is when they were on Eber Yardin. Okay, that's the Braisa. V'isal tadai tach ola shikribi sububibar, ola tamid havoi. If you would have thought that the Korban, now we're focusing on Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says they only got the klalot at Har Sinai, so they just know the generalities. He says, if you would just want to make the argument that it was an Ola Tamid, so the Ola Tamid is a din in Torah, requires Hefshet Pinituach. Hefshet, it has to be skinned and cut up into pieces. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, that detail they didn't get to later on. So the Gemara says, how could Rabbi Shmuel possibly hold that they're bringing a Korban Tamid when they didn't, according to Rabbi Akiva, they got all the details at Sinai. So they know that. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, not. So how could they do it? Now, on the other hand, though, but you can ask the question, the other alternative is that it's an Olad Riyah. But Olad Riyah also requires Hefshei Finituah. So Rashi gives his answer. Rashi says, let's look at the Rashi. Mikamidi, it's around the sixth narrow line of Rashi. Mikamidi Kule, Elababi Olariyavoi, Umele Hemik Rigua. It was a voluntary Korban. In other words, they just decided on their own. Again, it's an atypical Olas Riyah. Olas Riyah is normally, you know, you do it on one of the regalim, but here it's like at the time of Har Sinai. It's actually, it comes out of Ram Shavuot's time, but it was just that, but they're not in the Mishkan, they're not in the Beis HaMikdash, but the Beis HaZud Al-Kim, that's what they're doing. So they're doing voluntary Korban, so they did whatever they want. Okay, now, so that's two Shitot. So we have Rabbi Shmuel and we have Beit Shammai. Now the third Shita, it should be Reb Lezer, is the way Bach corrected it. It makes sense because Reb Lezer, because I'll teach this was a Shmuti, according to one, there's different ways of understanding Shmuti. One is that he was a follower of Shammai, or Shmuti is also, could be that he was placed in Shamta, he was placed in Chayrim, based on the Gemara Bam and Tzia. But Reb Lezer, the Tanya, but I'm saying, if you say Shmuti's follower of Beit Shammai, so that fits in. Reb Lezer, the Tanya, Ola Tamid Haas Yabahar Sinai. He says, Reb Lezer Omer, so it says, Ola Tamid Haas Yabahar Sinai. The Ola Tamid that was, it sounds like, that was made in Har Sinai, right? That's what the pasuk says. Olat Tamid Ha'Siyabahar Sinai. That's what we say in our laning on every Rosh Chodesh in Parshas Pinchas. So that sounds like, gee, that's it. It's Pashut that was born in Har Sinai. She said, Reb Lezer Omer Ma'asen Enu B'Sinai. So Reb Lezer says his procedures were set at Har Sinai. biyatzma lo karva, but it was not offered at Har Sinai, Rav Lezer says. Rabbi Kiva mer karva b'shuv lo paskin. Rabbi Kiva says it was offered and it didn't cease. So Rav Lezer also holds that it was the olas riyah that was brought. Say again. Right. That's what the time. So we have three shita. We have Beit Shammai and Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Lezer. But focusing now on Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva had a different opinion. Elamani mekayim hasvachim mincha higashim li b'midbar arbim shana Beit Yisrael. So this is the kasha against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that the korban was Ola Tami that was offered at Har Sinai. So the Navi says in Amos, did you offer zvachim and mincha in the midbar for 40 years Beit Yisrael? Meaning that you didn't offer the korbanot for me in the midbar. So how does Rabbi Akiva deal with that? He says that the Ola Tami was offered at Har Sinai, didn't stop. So Rabbi Akiva will say, Shittel Shalevi Shlovdu Vodazara Hinekrivu Otav. The Shevet Levi, it was not implicated this week's Parsha of Shavuah with the Maaseh Egel, but they gave the money for the Korban Tamid because in other words, there was a period of time that Klai Yisrael was like Nezufim, they were like rebuked, they were like excommunicated. And so one side is learning that they're not bringing these Korbanot. So he says, Shevet Levi brought it. So it wasn't like on behalf of everybody. Let's look forward. That's what he was learning. Okay. Now, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, let's go on. Wait. Yeah, so first the Korm. First the Korm Pesach was given to them in Mitzrayim. They had Korm Pesach. They were given the Dinum of Korm Pesach when they were in Egypt. They only brought one Korban Pesach in the Midbar. Year one, they brought the Korban Pesach, and then that was it. So that they had. But other things, you know, not. That's all I could say. What? You didn't know. Clearly, the Korban Pesach, they clearly had the dinim for the Korban Pesach. That's what I'm saying. They had the dinim for the Korban Pesach. But the one side that says the Klalot were Nemru B'Sinai, and the Pratot came later on, is saying that they didn't have everything right up front. Okay, let's see back from the Gemara. With this thing, with the tzad, with the way I remember this is a piece. I remember this years ago, Rav Shekhar pointed this out to me. There's a Chazon Ish where he talks about this whole thing. So even according to the tzad that says that the prophet was said later on, I think the Chazon Ish wants to say that Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu the whole Torah, but then he authorized them to release different parts at different times, something like that. That's why I remember it. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. In other words, Rabbi Akiva says, everything is revealed, everything is known. But Rabbi Shmuel says, no. But I think even within Rabbi Shmuel, see, the difficulty with Rabbi Shmuel is, what does it mean? The whole Torah wasn't given to Har Sinai. So I think the Chazon Ish says that within Rabbi Shmuel, everything was given to Har Sinai, but I think Moshe wasn't authorized to release the information. Okay, that's the way I recall. Now we're doing the other side. Now we're going to the side that it was an Ola Tamid that they brought at Har Sinai. So Beit Hillel had the Amran. So Beit Hillel we did an Amud Aleph. Rabbi Akiva Hanami the Amran. So Rabbi Akiva we just did with Rabbi Akiva, and he said that it was a Korban Tamid and Shavuot Pascha. Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So up to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we're trying to prove that Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that the Olot that were sent in the Pasuk was an Ola Tamid. This is like what Michael was just saying a little while ago, that there were three mitzvot that Klal Yisrael commanded when they make Aliyah the Regel. Re'iyah, there's a mitzvah of Olat Re'iyah, B'chagiga, to bring Shami Chagiga, B'simcha, and then also bring Shami Simcha. Yesh B'Re'iyah, Shem B'Shteyim. So the Re'iyah, the Olat Re'iyah, has two aspects that the other two don't have. He says, or the Riyah has an aspect that the other two don't have, I should say. The Yeshba Chagiga Shemeshtein. The Chagiga has an aspect that the other two don't have. Yeshba Simcha Shemeshtein. The Simcha has an aspect that the other two don't have. Yeshba Riyah Shemeshtein. The Riyah has an aspect the other two don't have. Shariya Ola Kula Lagavoa Mashin Kemeshtein. So the Ola Riyah is an Ola, totally burnt on the Mizbeach, whereas the Shami Simcha and the Shami Chagiga are not. So that's one aspect. Yesh b'chagiga ma'ashayim b'shtayin, shechagiga yesh l'chnei adibur ma'ashayim b'shtayin.
that the Chagiga was before Matan Torah, was given before Matan Torah. But the other two don't have it that way. So that's the key raya. So if the Chagiga was given for the Dibur, the other two weren't given, the Olariya wasn't given, so it means it was an Ola Tamid. So if it's not an Olariya, it's an Ola Tamid. That's the raya. I think you addressed mine on the floor, Odeda. Okay. Okay. Now, Yesh B'Simcha Masha'in B'Shtayen, there's something in the Simcha as an aspect the other two don't have. Shasimcha Noheged B'Anashim U'Rashim. Simcha is knowing by men and women. It was subject to what we discussed. One way to understand it is only men have the mitzvah of Simcha. That's one way to understand it. But the women participate in Simcha. Masha'in B'Shtayen. The other two, there's Olat Ri and Olat and the Shamei Chagig, are definitely only men. Okay. So the point being that that in this brisa, Rabbi Yossi clearly holds that the korban that was offered at Har Sinai was not an Olad Riyah, because only the Chagiga was the Fnei Adibur, so he must hold that it was an Olad Tamid. Okay, so we proved Olad Shito. All right, now the Gemara says Rabbi Shmuel. Now going back to the time of Rabbi Shmuel, we had the bottom of Amud Aleph and the top of Amud Beis. Rabbi Shmuel, my Tamid Kamutban Zalei Kibet Shamayim. Let's go back. Why did you? Remember, Rabbi Shmuel is the one who said that they only got the klalod at Har Sinai, and the prophet came later on. So we figured that he can't hold that they brought an Ola Tamid, because the Ola Tamid needs Hefshef and Ituach, and we don't anticipate that they would have brought it differently. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, my Tamid can look like Beit Shammai. Why did you say that Rabbi Shmuel has sold like Beit Shammai? He saw Kadaitach Ola Shekribi Salibar Ola Tamid Aboy. So the thinking was that how can I have an Ola Tamid that doesn't have Hefshev Nituach? In other words, the din is it needs Hefshev Nituach. If they don't have that mitzvah, so they'll be bringing it incorrectly. So it can't be that way. So the Gemara says that that's not necessarily a great argument. But how Rabbi Yossi Gleiling, the Amar Ola Shekribusimibar Ola Tamid Avoy, in the column of Ola Tamid was Rabbi Yossi Gleiling. He says, and yet he holds that initially it wasn't with Hefshev Nituach, and later on it changed to Hefshev Nituach. How do I know? Tani, because we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Ola Shekriba Subamidbar, Eina Tuna, Hefshev Nituach, the Vishin Hefshev Nituach, on the old way of Eilach. So he, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, clearly, explicitly says, I think it was an Ola Tamid. And it didn't have Hefshev in Nituach, and later on it did have Hefshev in Nituach. So if Rabbi Yossi Gleiling can hold that way, Rabbi Shmuel can also hold that way. So the Gemara says, you're right, Takasam Mikan Rabbi Shmuel. You should take Rabbi Shmuel. In other words, Abaye said three Tanaim or groups of Tanaim hold this way, and three Tanaim hold this way. So, but the Gemara says the Raya from Rabbi Shmuel is not Mufrachat, it's not necessarily compelling. So we should take Rabbi Shmuel out of that column. So it's just coming out that only two definites in the Beit Shammai column, which is Beit Shammai and Reb Lezer. The only two Vadai that hold that it was an Olas Re'ia. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Again, okay, let's go back. So we said, okay, so Yosef asked me to repeat what I just said. So we said before that Rabbi Shmuel holds, it must be an Olas Re'ia was brought there. Why does it have to be an Olas Re'ia? So he said, Rishon says the klala were given at Har Sinai and the prakta later on. And in Ola Tami didn't have Shepin and Tuach, so they didn't have all the details of Shepin and Tuach, so it's the only thing that's left is Ola Tri and then the voluntary. So the Gemara says that's not Mukrach, because we have Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, who's a different Tana, and he holds that it was an Ola's Tamid, and he holds it was an Ola's Tamid without half Shepin Tuach, and changed over to half Shepin and Tuach. So it doesn't, you said it's got to be consistent throughout. It doesn't have to be consistent throughout. So the Gemara says, "Taki, right." So we're going to take Rabbi Shmuel out of that column. Okay, now, right? Yeah, right. In reference to the regel, right? Okay, all right. Let's take a look back in the Gemara. Now, for this, we have 2 minutes. Let me just do a little bit from this. You know what? I'll tell you what. He has more about Enoch here. And what are some other things? I'll tell you what, you know, I'll finish the daf and then I'll do some of this stuff, okay? What? All right. All right, let's just finish the daf and then we'll see what's going. Okay, let's take a look at the next piece of Gemara. All right, now, now we're 6-8 lines from the bottom on Babam Beis, 6b. So by Rav Chisser, Rav Chisser posed the following question. It means, how do I read this Pasuk? How do I understand the Pasuk?
We said already there was a machloket whether this is a, you know, olas re'iyah or olas tamid. So by yishlachet na'arei b'nei Yisrael by yalu olot kivasim. It doesn't say kivasim in the pasuk. Do I understand it that they brought olot, which would be the kvasim, and I think that fits in better with the olot tamid. The olot tamid had to be a kevas. He says, then by yizbechuz v'achim shlamim l'Hashem parim. And they brought other shlamim, which we said is a shlamim chagiga, parim, bulls. Oh, Dilma, or maybe I could read the pasuk differently. Idi v'idim paru havu. Maybe they were all parim. Maybe the read, in other words, when it says parim at the end of the pasuk, is that going on both the olot and the shlamim? Or is parim going only on the shlamim, and the olot would be kvasim? That's what the Gemara is asking. So the word says, L'mai nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? Again, the Gemara doesn't ask like hypothetical questions. There's always a halachic implication in the questions in the Gemara. So L'mai nafkamina. So Marzutra Amar, the piece of Tamim. So Marzutra says, for the trap, if I say that it's kvasim, so there's going to be an enachta, meaning, by shlachet na'arei ben Yisrael, by ya'alu olot, pause, he says, by yizbechuz v'achim shlom l'shem parim. Which is the way we have the trap now. That's the way it is, the trap in the Sefer Torah. But if I say it's all parim, enachta is like the, you know, like the upside down sort of like circle or whatever. But if I say it's all parim, so then I'm going to have something like a revi'i or a pashta at that place where it goes one into the other one. So he says that's one nafkamina. So he says, Ravacha b'rid Rava Amar, l'omer harei ola ka'ola shekrivus l'minbar. So Rav Acha says, I have a different nafkamina l'olah. The nafkamina is if a person makes a neder, that he's going to bring an ola, like the ola they brought in the midbar, my parim havu, so does he bring parim, or he brings kvasim havu? So the Gemara leaves it as a teku. The Gemara, it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't resolve it, but in our laning, we have an enachta there, which leads like the thing kvasim, and that would be the implication of this. Okay, let me just do a few lines more about the chinuch aspects. And then that'll probably be it for tonight, okay? So the okay. So we studied if you have a child who's lame or who's blind, so we had a question, is there a mitzvah of chinuch, you know, to bring the child to the Azara? And the Gemara we gave the Chakira how that would work. But the maskana of the Gemara is that there's no mitzvah chinuch, because if he was an adult and he was blind, he'd not be chayiv in Riyah. He was adult, he's lame, he's not chayiv. Okay, so the Turi Evan asked why a child who is old enough to go to Yerushalayim while holding his father's hand is obligated in Riyah. Since an older sick person who cannot walk without support is exempt from Riyah, a child with the same infirmity should also be exempt, even though he's destined to get stronger and eventually walk on his own strength. In other words, the Turi Evan is asking, within the Shita Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says, when a child is old enough to walk up while holding the father's hand, and it was taking this Hakira. So, okay, fine. So we said, if he was older, would he be Chayv and Alila Regel? And say, instead of being 10 years old, he was 20 years old, would he be Chayv and Alila Regel? But we're saying he's able to walk only by holding the father's hand. An adult who was only able to walk, you know, holding somebody's hand is pater from Alila Regel, because he's like the kol of the zakeh. So how is any child chayav v'chinuch? So that's the question that's asked by the Turei Evan. So he quotes from the Igros Moshe, the Ramosha Feinstein, and he answers that when the pasuk says weak people cannot walk on their own strength, and only those whose manner of walking is considered unusual. The pasuk teaches that only those who are able to ascend Yerushalayim in a normal manner of walking are obligated in Riyah. Since it is common for children of all ages to grasp the father's hands when walking out of endearment, even if they are strong enough to walk without support. In other words, that's what a child is. It's a child that he holds on to the parent. It is considered a normal manner of walking for a child. Therefore, we do not exclude a young child from Riyah, really because he's too young to walk to Yerushalayim without his father's support. Alternatively, we said this was a question of Turi Evan. So Turi Evan's answer is, Turi Evan submits that the Gemara's rule does not apply if the child's inability to perform the mitzvah properly is a result of his young age. Since by definition, the mitzvah of chinuch is the obligation to train children for mitzvah, even though they are below the legal age of maturity, the fact that they are too young to perform all aspects of the mitzvah properly does not exempt them. Okay, so in other words, yeah, he's going to get older. Getting older means he doesn't need to hold on to daddy's hand. The Turi Evan adduces proof to
this assertion from the fact that an adult who performs a mitzvah without kavana is not a yotze, because mitzvot tzrichot kavana. Yes, how the rabbis can obligate modest to perform mitzvot since they lack the intelligence to perform mitzvah without proper intent. In other words, by all the chinuch I give my child, so he has to have intent for mitzvah. Does he have intent for mitzvah? Who knows? I'm just happy, you know, he wakes a lulav, you know, like God's not going to get it right. So he says here, evidently their lack of intent is of no concern since the problem that stems from their young age, not from other factors like blindness. Okay, so that's the piece from the Turei Eben. All right, I think that's it for tonight. Okay, nice having everybody. Okay, Shukran Hara, when we get on the recording.